Thank you so much, Paul, for leading in prayer. Just appreciate that. And thank you again, worship team, for leading us in worship. If you're commenting along, do you keep a journal or a diary of any sort? So if you do, just maybe put in a yes in the comments so we can encourage one another. Keeping a prayer journal has been a relatively new thing in my life. It's something really I've only done in the last year. And it's kind of interesting as you just chart through, you know, in my case, just kind of thoughts and prayer requests to see how God answers. It can be a real great faith builder as, you know, you pray a request one day and the next day or two or three, you see those prayers answered. But even in the midst of a lot of prayers being answered and a lot of hope being found in a prayer journal, there's also in there, if I'm being honest, there are some things in there where there are prayers that go unanswered, and prayers that might show up page after page after page after page, day after day after day after day. Now, if you're in one of your house church groups, one of the questions you might talk about, whether it's right now or you can actually find these discussion questions in the video notes, is you know, what is a prayer that you've all but given up on? Because that's what happens sometimes, isn't it? Or maybe you'd like to comment along. Maybe, if your prayer involves a person, don't list the names. Facebook is a public place. But I think we all have those things. We have those things in our life, people we're praying for, situations we're praying about, that it just seems like nothing happens. And so that's why today, and the passage we're going to look at today, is so incredibly important and so relevant, because we all have those places of frustrated prayers, of unanswered prayers. And the story that we're going to look at, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, this story of Peter and John as they meet this lame beggar. This story helps to clear up a couple of things that are just probably our most common misconceptions about how God works miracles and how God works healing. And the cry of my heart is that this would be something to just be deeply encouraging to you, especially in those areas of your life where your prayers feel frustrated. So if there is one phrase I'd like you to remember today, we'll put it on the screen. And if you're taking notes, this would be a good one to write down. If there's one thing you remember, it's this. Just because you've given up on hope, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. Just because you've given up on hope, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. So as we pick up the story in Acts chapter 3, so this is shortly after Pentecost, and the church is growing really quickly, and believers, they're just sharing with one another in some really generous ways. And there's a line in here that says, and many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. Well, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, we first see the first real example of, like, with some detail of what that might look like. So I'd like us to read through Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. We're going to go through a few passages and kind of pause a little bit and some things about the situation that I want us to notice, because I think the further we go into this passage and this story, the more we're going to understand how God is at work in our lives in some of those hidden places and in some of those hidden ways. And I hope it's going to be deeply encouraging. So let's pick it up in verse 1. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at about 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth, note that. So somebody who has had a physical ailment for a very, very long time. We'll learn later in Acts chapter 5 that he's had this for 40 years, but he's been lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now, As I think about this story, so here's somebody who's had a physical ailment for a very, very long time. He's had this challenge, if you will, since birth. For most of us, the deepest challenges we struggle with are ones that we've carried for a long time. Now, maybe it's a physical ailment of some sort, but oftentimes it's emotional, it's relational. How we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the people around us, how we look at those things. We have these deep, deep challenges. We have these deep, deep areas of woundedness in our life. We have a lot in common with this beggar, when you really think about it. Now, the text doesn't specifically say this, but we can only imagine that. So here's somebody, and he's got something going on with his ankles, something going on with his feet, and as a little boy, you got to assume that he would look at his situation and then wonder why he couldn't do some of the things that the other little boys in his neighborhood could do. And he grew up near the temple. So he was exposed to faith on some level. I mean, you got to assume that he would wonder at some point, well, God, why can't this get better? Why can't my feet work? Why can't I run? Why can't I walk? God, why could you please heal me? We can only assume that as a little boy, he would have prayed for God's healing and help in his situation. But as we get to this point, 40 years in, 40 or 40 plus years in, he's not praying for that anymore. What he's asking for as Peter and John go by, what did he ask for? Do you remember from the text? He asked for money. You know, it's funny sometimes in our prayer life, you know, there's those things, those areas of just deep longing and maybe even deep woundedness. It's easy to give up. And it's easy to, instead of just asking for the big miracle, to be essentially just asking for spare change. Hey, mister, got any spare change? And it seems in this text as well that as Peter and John are going by, this beggar is interacting with them in the way that if you've ever run into somebody that was begging on the street. Now, I know this isn't true in every case, but oftentimes there is a distantness in somebody's eyes. They've given up. People have passed them by so many times that oftentimes, and I know this is not always true, but oftentimes they just can't or won't make eye contact. And so it's interesting that the first step in what is going to be this incredible story of healing is for Peter to say to him, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, verse 5, expecting to get something from them. He looked. He made a human connection. One of the things we need to remember about how the Holy Spirit works is that the Holy Spirit generally works through people. He speaks through the Word, but he also speaks through his people. And as God does, especially those transformational miracles in our lives, very frequently he's going to use another believer to deliver the message, to deliver the hope. And it starts with that connection. And here's where I want to encourage you, because you see, now something really dramatic is about to happen in his life. But at this moment, the only faith that he can muster up, the only faith this beggar has is faith enough for a quarter. He has just enough faith to ask the passerby for a buck. Hey, mister, you got any spare change? Because one of the things that we sometimes falsely think about healing and miracles and how God works is we think that on some level that it depends on us to muster up enough faith for God to work. So let's see what happens. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. He helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Where all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So the first step in this man's healing was to be willing to receive help. That somebody would reach out, and all the only faith it took from this lame beggar was enough faith to receive the hand that is extended. And so I want to encourage you, as you think about the areas in your life and the areas in my life where we find those deep, deep prayers, those deep prayers that perhaps you've even given up on, is to consider who has God placed in your life that is reaching out? Because when you see that hand extended, take it. Take it. Receive the help. It doesn't take that much faith. It just takes enough faith to ask for a quarter and to be expecting that maybe out there somewhere, God can use someone to help. And then we move on to the rest of the story. And starting with verse 11. So while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites," I just love this, "why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" We'll come back to that. Pay attention there. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus," this is important, "by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." You know, one of the second misconceptions we have about healing is that somehow healing may be dependent on the one who's praying for the healing, the one who's praying for somebody else's healing. But you know, here Peter, he blows past all of that. When healing happens in somebody's life, it's not because of the degree of faith of the one who is praying for the healing. It's not because of the degree of faith of the one who is praying for their healing. It's because of the power of Jesus' name. Now, if we were in a live room, this would be an amen moment. I don't know if there's an amen moment, amen. But here we go. It's the power of Jesus' name. And I love how Peter says this. "Why does this surprise you?" Do you realize, friends, that the God who can raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same God who can really easily heal you from bitterness? Come on. The same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead can give you the strength to be able to forgive. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead can give you the strength to break that family line of abusive dads or failed marriages. That same, it's not even hard for him. So why does it surprise you? It's not because of this man's faith. It's not because of your righteousness. It's all because of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. We are saved by faith. Absolutely. We are saved by the faith that is given to us through Jesus. It's funny, like this, we are all just like this lame beggar. Like, if you've ever come to Christ, and I just think of you know, the moments in, you know, my, you know, 13-year-old me as I was coming to Jesus and came to understand my need for a personal relationship with him. The things I was looking for in my life were like, you know, God, there's a bit of a sense of a hole in my soul, you know? God, would you fill the hole in my soul? You know, spare change, God. And God not only filled that hole, he gave me heaven. We ask for things that are so small, and God delivers so big in response. Do you hear me? You know, we ask for a quarter, and he gives us eternity. You know, we ask for, I mean, you know, so whether it's the bartering with God, if you get me out of this, and, you know, or whatever it is, you know, God, if you help me, you know, get this girl's attention, and if you'll do that, I'll do anything for you. And oftentimes he responds to that very need. He answers your request for a quarter, but he gives you eternity in response.
So good.
Yeah? And so I want to encourage you, church, today. Pray big. Jesus' name is powerful. In Jesus' name, miracles happen. You know, even as Christians, we tend to trust in ourselves over God far too often. We fall into those same patterns. But friends, you know, our hope is not in a grand reopening plan. It is in Jesus. Our hope, church, is not in a politician. It is in Jesus. Our hope is not in even getting what you asked for. It is in trusting Jesus to get what you truly need. We ask him for a quarter and he delivers eternity in response. We ask him for help with the immediate ailment, and very often he delivers that, most of the time through somebody else, but he gives us so much more. So church, get your hopes up. And one of the things that is... I mean, it is really easy sometimes to, in this season of tremendous uncertainty, to live our faith kind of like we're hunkered in a bunker. You know, we're like all this stuff, it's going on and it feels out of control. It feels crazy. And to just go, God, would you just please protect me? And those are valid prayers. Those are valid emotional responses. There are so many times I just feel that too. But church, we need to stop living in fear, and we need to start living with trust in Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that this man is healed. So why does it surprise you that the God who can raise Jesus from the dead can do a miracle work in you, in me, and in all those places where we are just like this beggar? You know, during this time, one of the reasons I wanted us to be in the book of Acts is because, you know, the early church, they faced tremendous challenges, and we are too. The early church faced a future that was at times so uncertain, so unknown, and we do too. I don't know if I'm gonna get a little bit risky here. So I've probably had this conversation a dozen times in the last 3 weeks. You know, as Christians are talking about, you know, where in the Bible they're reading. And there's a lot of people right now that they're in this time and it just looks like everything's going crazy. And so they're like, we got to be in the book of Revelation. And that's a good place to be. If you're opening the Bible, that's good. Be in the book of Revelation. That's good. Make sure to read the end, by the way. Don't just stop in the middle. Make sure to read the whole thing because God wins. The one liability of being in a place like a book like Revelation is we can sometimes feel like, okay, I've got to understand all this. I've got to put my chart together just right. I've got to find all the right categories. I've got to figure out how what's been prophesied here is happening here. And, you know, that's valid and that's good, and it can be good to study like that. It's absolutely okay. But remember, friends, you can get the chart wrong. And if you get Jesus right, you're still going to be all right. The answer is not in us figuring it all out and us having the plan all mapped out and knowing the answers or being able to even anticipate what's coming next. Our hope isn't in a plan. Our hope isn't in a chart. Our hope is in a Savior. Yep. A Jesus who by the Holy Spirit, God raised from the dead. And that same power, that same name lives in you. So read wherever you like. But friends, don't stay hunkered in a bunker. Don't live in fear. We are just like that lame beggar. We're just like that lame beggar. And the only faith it takes for us is just enough faith to reach out. So let me come back to that final statement before we close in prayer. Okay? Just because you've given up on hope, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. How much faith does it take to receive God's healing and miracles in your life, the blessing in your life? Just enough faith to receive the hand as it's stretched out. Just enough faith to ask for a quarter. That's all. And so if you're on the margins of faith this morning, I just urge you, please, to reach out to Jesus. He is so much closer than you think. Jesus died on the cross so that the sins that separate you and me and us from God could be forgiven once and for all. His hand is already reaching out to you. Receive it. And as you look for those deep transformational places in your life, as you look for the answers to those prayers that you have prayed page after page after page after page after page, book and journal after journal after journal, and it seems like nothing is happening, don't give up hope. And look for the ways that God may be extending his hand to you through a fellow believer. He's closer than you think. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you don't give up on us. And in those places in our life where we have given up hope, where our prayers are frustrated, where our hearts are filled with anxiety, where we have even disconnected so much we can barely even make eye contact. Thank you that none of that stops you. Thank you that you love us so much that with even the smallest measures of faith, to ask, even the smallest measures of faith, to be willing to reach out for the hand that you've extended, that even those smallest measures of faith you can use to do miracles in our life. So God, I want to pray for those deep areas of woundedness that all of us have, those areas of brokenness.